Welcome to another episode of Bite Size. Today's speaker will be Miguel Lutz, a BDM at Unifiller. He's also a product expert in the food department there. Today we'll be speaking to Miguel about seafood portioning. Hello, Miguel.
Hi, Sonia, and thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the opportunity. And it's exciting. Hopefully we can have some good information on the seafood industry and what we're doing.
Okay, so thank you for joining us. This is awesome that we were able to get you on board for this. So one of the first questions we have here, what are some of the challenges seafood processors or food manufacturers currently facing when it comes to filling or dosing their products?
So we see challenges. It is a great question. We see challenges in different kind of aspects. Some aspects are product related. A lot of the seafood products have larger particles, and that's always a challenge. One of the other challenges that we find is that the products are cooked at higher temperatures, and that is another challenge to deposit at higher temperatures. And then some of the other challenges that food processors have are related to our new day and age with everything around the changes that have happened over the last 2 years in the industry, specifically in the market. So a lot of automation, ready-made meals, products that are different than what they used to produce, that are now part of their offering, and everything is kind of amalgamated or kind of brought together at this time, and they're dealing with a lot of things at the same time. So it is interesting times, and also regarding products, it is very interesting products that the seafood industry brings to us.
So speaking about products, what kind of seafood products has Unifiller been able to deposit for their customers? What are some of the experiences that you guys had with customer products?
Yeah, so I would say there's one kind of section that's basically broth-based products, and it might be just a broth, a water-like or very thin product, sometimes without particles, sometimes with particles, and that's kind of one section of it. And the challenge there with those products is that they're very liquid. And always depositing liquid products has its challenges. And then the other types of products are chunky products, like either towards a chili or towards a chowder, where you have a lot of particles, and what they want to get is large particles into small deposits or into some type of a packaging line where they have to be able to automate this these types of products.
So you hit on a good point there in terms of filling and dosing these kinds of products. You mentioned the chilies, you mentioned the chowders, and you mentioned the broth type products. When customers first come to you when they first start kind of inquiring about filling these products, are you finding that they already have some level of semi-automation in place?
Lately, what we've seen is that automation is a requirement. They're either looking at additional volumes, or they're looking at having less people on the line and needing to automate that production. So I would say that what we're seeing and the tendency that we're seeing is that they want these products to be deposited at higher speeds over in production lines and in an automated way.
Okay. Earlier, you spoke about chowders and chilies. Now, those kinds of products, like you said, do tend to have large chunks or large particulates. So how does your equipment handle particulate or chunk distribution? Obviously, you want to ensure that a portion isn't too soupy or is it too chunky?
Yes. So what we have with the thicker products and what we see is exactly what you said. Product particle distribution and weight consistency is the target, and we have to look at things in a very case by case way. We see a lot of cases where we're having to test the product for customers before committing to a specific machine, and that's basically what we're doing. We're testing products at our facility with different types of attachments. Sometimes that can be a different type of hopper or some steering or agitation in the hopper to make sure the product maintains a consistent texture, and we can deposit properly their particles so that each deposit has the same amount of particles and the same amount of volume.
That's fantastic to hear, Miguel. I'm not sure how many companies out there actually help the customer test their product and provide what I'm essentially assuming is some sort of proof of concept. So that's probably quite reassuring to customers.
Yes, it is reassuring, and it is very important, because a lot of times these projects now that we're looking at larger projects, automation and so on, you want to make sure that it's going to work for sure. They're large budgets. Customers are committing to larger investments, and they need on their side to have that assurance that things are going to work. And that's why testing comes to be such an important tool for us and for the customer itself. And the other thing there is, because we've tested for so many companies, we have a good database, and on our side we can go and look back at past tests and we can see what has worked and what has not. So it also helps us choose better those attachments and accessories that might be necessary for a specific case.
Awesome. So just to hit on some questions that a typical seafood producer or food producer might have. So what kind of carriers and containers are you guys able to accommodate when you're filling and dosing?
Yeah, with the products like soups, seafood, chowders, and so on, there's kind of two lines that we typically see. One is bulk, and that would be for, let's say, companies that are co-packing or producing for a supermarket or for a large restaurant, and they want to get some products into bulk. So bag packaging is important in this line of business. The other types of things that we have seen, and that's been one of the major growths lately, has been trays and cups that are ready-made meals, so fresh food that goes into supermarkets for retail, and there we also have seen production lines to pack into those types of packages. So it can be roll stocks, or it can be cup lines or tray lines that go into sealing and they have basically a packaging line towards those types of containers.
So a great segue yet again into what kind of integrations are possible with a unifiller depositors and dosing machines. So you hit on, for example, large scale bulk portioning for not only the fresh side, but I'm assuming also for the frozen side as well, whether it's sort of frozen ready meals as well.
Yeah, that is a great question, because that's where our knowledge and our applications engineering and our engineering department help us a lot, and it's those integrations. So basically, we see two types of lines that we integrate into. One would be a conveyor system that is moving, and that it doesn't have too much technology on it. And there, what we do is we place a photo sensor to detect the container coming down a line, and that triggers the deposits from our equipment. And there's a variety of ways to look at it. It can be a line that stops. It can be a line that where we deposit on the fly, and so on. But basically, there's a lot of options there. And then the second type is the lines that are in sealing lines, like a roll stock or a machine that is more sophisticated. That type of machine gives us a signal, so our equipment can take a signal and deposit on the signal of the packaging line. And that's kind of the full integration cycle, where the machines are talking to the between each other, and they fully integrate. They can stop and go as a full unit. We have the experience within our company, applications engineering teams that can, and controls teams that can talk to our customers and to their providers of equipment to make sure that there's a seamless integration.
What about handling, intermediary equipment? So for example, something that comes before the dosing or filling, or even some of the other processes, like could one deposit a chowder or a broth straight from a bowl or a kettle or a pot?
Correct. That's part of the process, and we look at it on a very much on a case-to-case basis. I would say that a lot of the customers start off with a kettle or some type of a mixing bowl or so, where they work out the product, and most of the times we can grab the product from there. We have different pumps and systems to be able to grab the product and move it from there into our depositors, and make the kind of close the loop so that the product is. It doesn't need to be handled by an operator or by hand in any part of the process. We can basically jump straight from production into packaging, and we can help the customers do that, figure out what is the best way to do it.
That's awesome. And obviously, in order to find the best way to do that, you guys go through a fairly consultative process with the customer beforehand.
Absolutely, and that's all our sales force. No matter what line of business, that's the way we roll. We talk to the customers, we talk to the providers of equipment to them on the packaging line, on the packaging side, and we work very much hand in hand to make sure that. That everything is thought for, and that there's no glitches by the time the product or the machines are installed, that everything can just be ready to plug and play.
One of the things that I always thought was interesting is, Unifiller is willing to say no to a customer, right? Unifiller wants, that you've gone through that consultative process, perhaps you've gone and tested that customer's product on your equipment, it's not so much about the sale. You're more than willing to say, look, we couldn't make it work. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Totally. And not only that, we try to go a step further sometimes and tell them who can do it for them. So a lot of the customer or of the companies that I would say others would think are our competition, we sometimes refer business to them because we know that their equipment will do a better job with that specific product than ours. So it's a matter of doing the right thing for the customer, not selling them a piece of equipment that won't work. It's guiding them to the best solution for them.
And that's the thing, to me, I think that's what's outstanding about the philosophy at Unifiller, what you just hit on there, that, there have been instances, for example, if a Unifiller can't make the product work on their equipment, they have no problem with referring them to sometimes even a competitor, because ultimately, at the end of the day, it seems like it's really the customer's, it's really in the customer's best interest, and that's kind of the focus of your approach.
Totally, and the customers are always thankful for that. So I think that's one of the things that that is great from what we do, and it's a good thing. It's better for us to make sure that the customer, even if it's not with our equipment, has the right setup. The day they have something that's for us, they will come back to us, and they will appreciate that the fact that we've given them the right advice.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to really build loyalty with customers out there, and to also build the brand reputation. Do you want to highlight maybe more specifically whether your equipment can handle hot seafood products and perhaps maximum temperatures, and perhaps even what kind of configuration might be required, what kind of things you might consider?
For sure. So that's one of the tendencies that we have seen, and it's a lot of these products. It's because of safety health requirements. They need to deposit at high temperature. So our equipment on a typical setting, say on a standard setting, comes set to deposit up to 140 degrees Fahrenheit. What we offer is that if the customer needs to deposit at a higher temperature and up to 203 degrees, we can set up the machine with to work properly at those higher temperatures. So we have the capacity, and it's one of the things that we've been working over the last couple of years very hard, and it's to have a very good setup that will let them deposit at high temperatures without compromising the accuracy of deposits or the product itself, ruining the product itself. So we can get up there with companies that are depositing up to 200, 203 degrees. We can set the machine properly to work there.
Oh, that's okay. Fantastic. So actually, you know, what you just said there, I've got two questions in mind and I'm trying to figure out which one. So you spoke there about making sure that the product maintains its integrity. How does Unifiller equipment go about doing that? So I'm guessing, again, this relates back to the chunky products. How does Unifiller equipment go about doing that?
Yeah, our equipment, you always start with the product, let's say, in a hopper. In the hopper, to maintain consistency, a lot of times if the product maintains consistency by itself, we don't touch it, we leave it as is. If it doesn't, we would add some type of a steering or an agitation device to maintain consistency. And then our process, because our process does have pressure, but it does not work under pressure, fully under pressure. It does not, products that are soft, like what we see in seafood a lot is like shrimp, or if the products have delicate products, particles like this, you do not want to basically squish them. And our process does not run into squishing delicate products. We can maintain those products with integrity until they're deposited.
So thank you, Miguel. That was a lot of great information, fantastic information. So before we end this podcast, is there anything else you'd like to add?
We'd be happy to get customers calling in, sending us their requests and questions, and we're ready to help new customers.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So that was Miguel Lutz, Business Development Manager at Unifiller, clearly a product expert in seafood portioning. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.